Wow, an hour already in the books on a Monday. Kyle Madsen behind the glass.
How does that happen?
Katie and her, your tooth issue okay now?
Yeah.
You got it figured out?
I had bacon stuck in my teeth.
Well, that is disgusting.
It's really hard to get out.
I mean, I guess if you're going to have something stuck in your teeth.
Normally I have those little like flosser things in my bag, but I didn't replace them.
Almost. Didn't care that much.
So you know what I use, Dave?
What? Please tell me.
Thread.
Atta babe.
Because I have a little sewing kit in my bag. I am.
Unfortunately, Katie will be gone the rest of the week. We will not have any bacon in the teeth stories. She's going back home on, I think, her first vacation in 2 weeks. So that's happening. She'll be back next Monday.
So
I know. I don't. Yes, I know. You can't vacation the rest. I got you.
And I haven't been home in over a year.
All right, hey, you know
so
what?
So I've got my fishing pole packed, fishing vest. Like, I'm ready, buddy.
I am excited for you. I really
Shut up.
Am.
You're so bad.
Later today, we are going to give away tickets. I'm going to the show, man. I honestly am excited about this. Creedence Clearwater Revisited and Three Dog Night, September 15th, Thunder Valley Casino and Resort. More info at KHDK.com. And if you're sitting there going, Creedence Clearwater Revisited, I've seen John Fogerty live. I've seen these guys live. These guys sound more like old CCR than John Fogerty does. And I know that's sacrilege, and CCR is one of my top five favorite bands of all time, and I love John Fogerty. I'm just telling you. Yeah, maybe you're a purist. That's fine. This band is awesome, and they put on an amazing show. And Three Dog Night, before we move on, Three Dog Night may be the most underrated band in existence when it comes to this. They're one of those bands. Well, maybe not you, Katie, because you didn't know what November Rain was by Guns N' Roses. But the layperson, if you were to play like Three Dog Night's greatest hits, they're one of those bands that you go, I didn't know they sang that. Oh, my God, I didn't know they sang that either.
I couldn't name a single Three Dog Night song.
I got you. Neither could my wife. And then I was playing them in the car over the week. She's like, oh, I know that song. I knew that song,
was it just like that, Dave?
Yes, it was.
Oh, I know that song.
That's exactly what she sounds like. Three for Madness at 7:17. We're talking about the fight today, obviously. McGregor, Mayweather, that happened Saturday night. The Kyrie Irving trade. The Kyrie Irving trade is such a goofy-ass story. It's officially in jeopardy. So what's going on here? We knew Isaiah Thomas had a hurt hip. Now, you'll remember Isaiah Thomas hurting his hip if you recall back to certain journalists who will go unnamed. Certain journalists that when he hurt his hip, remember this. This was during the playoff series with the Cavs. The Cavs had just blown them out on their home floor. Then he hurts his hip. And there were some people that said, I think Isaiah and the Celtics have quit. I think Isaiah. There were actual columns talking about how a guy who played minutes after burying his sister.
Well, and he played, what, was it the day after she passed?
Yes.
Yeah.
Some saying people. That maybe he was quitting, which was hilarious. And by hilarious, I mean disgusting. They were questioning his hip. How legit is this injury? Well, it's legit enough to where he could very well miss parts of the season. And now Cleveland, who did a physical on Isaiah, Cleveland saying, well,
I'm going to need more for this.
We're going to need more because we think that Boston might have misrepresented just how injured Isaiah Thomas was. So point number one, Katie, yes, there is a legitimate chance, Kyle, a real chance that this trade could get voided and everybody goes back to their old teams. That is on the table right now. There's no mistaking it. Reversing this trade is fully on the table. But nobody wants to do that for obvious reasons. You don't want to bring these guys back after they've already been traded. So now what Cleveland is reportedly doing is they're looking for additional compensation. Now, Adrian Wojnarowski said on SportsCenter yesterday, he said, well, you know, they're gonna inquire about Jaylen Brown, and they're going to inquire about Jason Tatum, which is the equivalent of me inquiring to Kate Upton what she's doing this weekend. I can do it. I can do it. I can ask. She's probably busy, and even if she was, it wouldn't give me the time of day. They're not getting Jaylen Brown. They're not getting Jason Tatum. So the question is, and the most likely scenario here is, what second-round pick, what late first-round pick that Boston owns, what else is Danny Ainge going to have to give over to Kobe Altman?
They're just being strong-armed right now. I think they got way too much for Kyrie Irving in the first place. Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, the 2018 pick from Brooklyn that probably is going to be extremely high again. Brooklyn's not doing anything. And Ante Zizic.
There it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds like a something that you need a cream for.
Our good friend Bobby Marks, former Nets front office executive, speaking of the Brooklyn Nets, suggested the Celtics could throw in their 2018 first-round pick with protections to appease Cleveland. It's interesting.
I just don't understand. I just don't think that they should.
You don't think
I don't think that Boston should give them anything else. Everybody knew that Isaiah's hip was bothering him, that he left. Cleveland knows better than anyone. It happened in that series. They already just absolutely robbed the Celtics for this whole deal. I think that they're just strong-arming them, and they want more. I don't think they deserve more. I would say, okay, that's all we're giving, if I were Danny Ainge. And be like, you can take Kyrie back because we all know he wants to be there. We all know he wants to be in Cleveland. We'll let you worry about this deal.
Okay, so if this
and then it's going to end up being like a Paul George situation where they get nothing for him.
If they reverse this trade,
yes.
Who is it more uncomfortable for?
Oh.
Who? Which side, Boston or Cleveland? Which side?
I think
is it
it's
more
equally uncomfortable okay. for both, but maybe a little bit more for Boston.
So who needs? You think it'd be more uncomfortable for Boston to bring back Jay Crowder, Isaiah Thomas, and Ante Zizic because of the pick,
yeah,
the pick
well,
doesn't know.
Well, mainly because Boston's in more of a precarious situation because of Isaiah's contract, right? With Kyrie, they can go ahead and have him locked up for two more years, no matter what. But with are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay, just
I just hit the phone. Move on.
But with Isaiah, he can leave
after this year.
Yes.
On the other hand, Cleveland would be bringing back Kyrie Irving into an absolute circus, a guy who's already asked for a trade out of Cleveland.
They can still trade him by February and be just fine.
Are they going to get, now the question there is, are you going to, A, do you want to trade Kyrie Irving in the middle of the year without training camp and without the benefit of getting used to your team? No, you don't. B, are you going to get the same haul or are you going to get anything close to what Boston gave you?
I don't think that they're going to get anything more for Kyrie than what Boston already gave them.
I agree
with you.
And
that's why I think they're moronic for trying to ask for more.
But you just said it might be a little bit more uncomfortable for Boston.
Just because of the contract situation.
I understand that. It doesn't matter why, though. I'm saying if we're going to the negotiation table right now, we got to find out who has leverage. I don't know that anybody has leverage, Kyle. I don't know that either side. Who do you think or do you think it's more uncomfortable for one party or the other?
It's got to be more uncomfortable for the Celtics just by sheer volume of people they have to reintegrate into the locker room.
That's
like, let's
12,
say this trade gets 14. Vetoed and nobody gets traded, and Kyrie starts the season with the Cavs, and Boston starts the season with Isaiah and Jaylen Brown. Jay Crowder. To me, that's far more awkward because now you have three guys or two guys who are major rotational players who you said, yeah, we didn't want you.
You also have
for someone to say, oh, we didn't want you. No, this is part of the business. It doesn't. I think that both parties involved, both the players and the organization, can be professional enough to be like, hey, this is part of the business.
Let me ask you this, Katie, about that.
It doesn't help the players to be D-bags about it.
Let me ask you about that specifically. Are you an Isaiah Thomas fan?
I am.
I am too. Are you a fan of his personally as well from your dealings with him? I am too. Huge Isaiah Thomas fan. Does Isaiah Thomas strike you as the type of person and player that would be like, you know, it's a business. I'm good.
Yeah, I mean, I understand where you're coming from, Dave.
There's no chance. Isaiah Thomas will be pissed, and you know he'll be pissed.
So what if
and
he's
he'll
pissed?
Have,
it doesn't mean he's not going to go out and play.
That chip is going to turn into a whole tortilla.
Do you think that?
whole
Do you
thing.
Think he's not going to go out and play? Because he's also trying to play. He literally, before all of this happened, has been going on the record saying, I'm about to get paid.
Right.
I'm about to get paid.
He had the Brinks truck shoes.
Yes.
Yes.
So please tell me how it would benefit him to go out and just not do anything, not perform, not do his best.
Well, there's
he's playing for another contract,
again,
which he wants it to be a max deal.
The couple situation. Not only did they trade their wife and try to marry another wife, and now the other wife is saying no in some aspect, and now you're trying to bring the old wife back. But You
that
also,
happens all the time.
The Celtics also went on Facebook after they broke up, after they dumped their wife for another. And then they went on Facebook and was like, well, here's why we dumped her. She's a horrible person, and we don't like her, and she snores in bed.
Oh, you're talking about the sources that were leaked that he was a locker room issue.
Exactly. And you don't think Isaiah Thomas is savvy enough and understands the game enough to know that it was Boston
executives? Can I ask you a question about that? Before we go to break, just something to think about during the break.
Okay.
This is something that we've heard. I love Isaiah.
Sure.
My own personal interactions with him have been fine.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that that is exactly how he is. I'm just asking why in every place he goes, these little murmurs of locker room issues follow him.
Well, I think we'll talk a lot more about that coming up in about an hour. Three for Madness is next. It's an all-fight Three for Madness as well as we continue to break down.
I'm not participating. I don't have knowledge of boxing.
Well, can you now you have to tell people. We got to go to break. Somebody's giving Katie crap on Twitter, and she's pouting about it.
I'm not pouting.
Hey, welcome into radio. It's The Drive. Back in 3 minutes. Sports 1140 KHDK.
I'm not pouting.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, Dave.
What's up today?
I have a question for you.
I have an answer.
You better have three, buddy.
Katie, I got three questions.
Okay.
Number one, do you feel like you got your money's worth with Saturday Night's Fight?
You know, I do. I do. And
because you didn't pay anything?
Well, yes. That's absolutely correct. I paid absolutely nothing for it. Sacramento's Mooch, Carmichael, Dave. Hey, listen. I've paid my share of pay-per-views, trust. And I feel like in this situation, we got exactly what we were hoping for, maybe even a little bit more. It had the appearance of being a competitive fight for a few rounds. It was a circus. It was a spectacle. It was an exhibition, whatever you want to call it. In the end, you got a satisfying result. You got to see greatness. You got to see a guy going out of his shell to try something new. And judging by the people that were around, I think there were a lot of houses, homes, restaurants, bars all around the world that were gathered around watching this thing. And I love it when sporting events bring people together. This was one of those that we'll talk about for a while.
I thoroughly was entertained. I would pay for it to see it
again. Stop. No.
Round, like matchup number two.
Why?
I'm saying let's do this again.
No.
Why not, Dave?
Because it's fun. It's neat.
Hey, you let me spend my money how I want to spend my money, and you can continue to mooch off your rich friends.
That's fine. Well, I hope they show it on Bravo or E, because that's where it would belong. That's where the rematch would belong.
Oh, right, you're talking about reality TV?
Yeah, right next to the Kardashians. Kyle, get in here. How did you feel?
We solved that Conor McGregor can't beat Floyd Mayweather in a boxing match, so a rematch is pointless.
Did you think you got your money's worth Saturday night,
though? Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I had a really good time watching it.
It was better than I thought it was going to be.
Sure, but a second matchup, Conor's not winning a second matchup.
Didn't say he would.
Maybe, you know what? Maybe there's a world of Katie Christensen's that want that rematch.
Yes. Let's do it again.
I hope there is not, but then again, I've been wrong before. Number two.
A lot.
Will Conor McGregor's star shine brighter or fade as a result?
I don't think this affects him one way or the other in terms of his professional kind of resume, because this isn't MMA. It wasn't a UFC fight. It was a boxing match. He stepped out into another area where I was really like, how hard is it as a fighter, someone that has been an MMA fighter his entire career, to step into a boxing ring and hamper that instinct to like kick people and knee people? Like, I think that played into it a little bit, but he signed up for it. This is what he asked for. He was a part of it. He knew what the rules were going to be. I don't feel like he was a full version of himself, meaning we know he punches extremely hard. He didn't punch extremely hard in this, but I think it was because he was so much in his head, because you're trying to stop instinct to a certain degree. So I don't think it affects his star one way or the other.
We had Dana White on Friday morning. You can get that at KHDK.com. And, you know, I'm thinking about it over the weekend. One thing that's bothered me this whole time is, why is Dana doing this? This is so unlike him. It's so unlike the UFC. I know they're having money issues. I know they have new owners.
Are they having money issues?
They're having
is
money.
It because everyone keeps getting
pop
steroids
or
drug tests?
You know, or generally not fun to watch or lame champion? Here's the thing. Here's why Dana White's rich and why they're all geniuses. Because what Dana White and the UFC got on Saturday night is they got the biggest and best infomercial in the sports history for one of their fighters. There is a lot of crossover between boxing and mixed martial arts, but I think on Saturday night, there were a couple things understood. Number one, boxers are boxers and fighters are fighters. Okay. Number two, I think there were a lot of boxing fans seeing Conor McGregor that got to know him, or his personality, I should say, during the press conferences leading up, and then walked away from that fight and went, you know what? This isn't a joke. This isn't a joke, and this didn't embarrass our sport, and it really didn't embarrass his sport. And you know what? The next time Conor McGregor fights, I'm going to tune in, and I'm going to buy that UFC pay-per-view, and I'm going to give MMA a chance, or I'm going to give them another chance. I think Conor's star will actually rise. I think he's gotten more exposure over the last 3 months than he had before, and he was on the front cover of a bunch of magazines before. I think he's going to be a better fighter because of this, because I think he took 4 months and focused only on his striking, and he was already a fantastic striker. I think all in all, it was good for Conor.
Yeah, I think he's held up very well and kind of showed that that he's a good fighter. I mean, that's
absolutely.
Just, if anybody had any doubt before, I think going up against a professional boxer is going to really really help that cause.
By the way, one last thing, in case anybody's wondering, you know, I can do everything. I'm not telling secrets out of school, but if you're wondering if Conor McGregor is going to fight in the UFC again, the answer is yes. And if you want to know what Conor McGregor's next fight will be, I expect he will either take 2017 off, or at the earliest, he'll fight on the New Year's Eve card, right around New Year's Eve. Conor McGregor's next fight is going to be the third match with Nathan Diaz, who was at the fight, who took a picture with Floyd, and that's going to be the biggest money fight the UFC can possibly offer. So trust me when I say Conor, Nathan Diaz, that's the next matchup. Number three.
Number three. Which sport won, boxing or MMA?
Both. We just kind of talked about that.
Yeah,
both.
Both, absolutely did.
I think you saw boxers. You saw what happened with Floyd and how he dominated. You went, well, that's why it's boxing. And I think with MMA, I think you got a lot of new eyes on it, Katie. I think both sports came away a winner.
I think both sports got a lot of new eyes on it.
Yeah.
Because to a certain degree, I kind of feel like boxing had kind of died a little bit. And there's now, granted, there's the diehard boxing people, but a lot of new, like, combat sport fans really gravitate towards the UFC.
Absolutely.
Because it is such a spectacle.
When we return, the one player in sports I root for to get injured, if you were listening earlier, you know who I'm talking about. And is he the dirtiest player in all
of
sports?
I've got some good names to throw in there.
And also why the NFL Players Association just continues to stab itself in the eye. You won't believe how they are or are not electing their next executive director. It's just a farce and a scam. And maybe we'll hit that Kyrie Irving trade a little bit more as well. A lot of stuff in the next half hour. Join us, won't you? Sports 1140 KHDK.
What?
That's an appropriate song.
No, it's not. It's cold in
here. Well, just the AC just kicked on, thank goodness. It's Nelly on KHDK. Win a pair of tickets later today to go see a show. Hey, I'm going to be there. I suggest you go as well.
Dave, you're trying to get people to go see the show.
I love it.
Keep them away.
Oh, I got you. Hey, you know what? I'm fine with that. It's more room for me.
All about you, Dave.
Creedence Clearwater Revisited and Three Dog Night, September 15th, Thunder Valley Resort. More info at khdk.com. Make sure you stay tuned. We'll give away those tickets a little bit later. In the next hour, we will talk about the McGregor-Mayweather fight. I'll tell you why McGregor was never, ever, ever, ever in that fight whatsoever. And Gary Strong, later on in this segment of the Red Cross right here, he's going to come on right at the very end and talk to us about everything that's going on. Kyle, turn up the phone, would you, real quick?
Who are you calling?
Well, I gots to here. Let me see. Do-do-do-do. Is it on? I can't hear the I can't hear the thing. Do we have it? Yeah, I'm on. Is it not turned up? Am I doing something wrong here?
No, phone's on.
Phone's on.
Why don't you dial? Jeez.
Well, you know, you can't, usually you can hear a dial tone. I can't hear anything. See, look, I'm on air, but I'm not getting a dial tone, Katie.
What are you trying to do?
I'm trying to make a phone call here.
Katie, what kind of snacks did you have at your fight party?
I had
Did you make candied bacon?
No.
Hot dogs?
No, I didn't. I had burgers and hot dogs for everybody. This was like
Dynamite. The
continuation of a you know, birthday party.
Sure.
But we never got to that point. So it was like veggie tray, like chips and salsa, cheeses and salamis and prosciutto.
Hang up line six, would you? Because I can't hang it up from in here. It's still showing the little purple thing. Showing that I've been calling somebody for a minute.
What are you doing?
But it's, you know what? It's all goofy now. I just wanted to call my I almost said my dumb wife.
You were going to say that. Why don't you text Kyle the number and he can call her?
I just wanted to call her and say happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday.
Yeah. See, Kyle, you can't do it, can you?
No, it appears you've somehow like blocked that.
I've blocked it.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
What?
Does being married to you make you age like in dog years?
Does what?
Like, is Melissa really like 70 now?
Please.
Because she's been married to you for 10 years.
Please. It's a dream.
No, it's not.
It's an absolute dream to get married to me. All right.
We all know that's not the case.
Apparently the line doesn't work, so whatever. I can't call out. Happy birthday, Melissa. You're not listening. 27 years old today. There are not a lot of people. And by not a lot of people, I mean there's literally nobody in sports I root for to get injured. I think that's horrible. You don't root for people to get injured. Yeah. I don't care if it's a player on the Dodgers or the Lakers or any team I hate or you hate it. To root for a player to get injured is just inviting bad karma on yourself and should never happen.
Well, it makes you a horrible person.
I want them to get, you know, listen, Kobe, Robert Horry, pick a Dodger, doesn't matter. I want them all to get their asses beat by my team and by every other team. Of course, I'm rooting for them to get beat. I'm not rooting for them to get injured ever, 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 ever. That stops with Vontaze Burfict. I hate Vontaze Burfict. I don't know him as a person. Maybe he's a great guy. He might be, seriously. I don't know him as a person, so I use hate and I put quotes around it because I'm talking.
Actions speak louder than words.
Talking on the field.
Yeah.
On the field. On the field, I don't want Vontaze Burfict to play another NFL game.
Okay.
I want Vontaze Burfict for some reason to be eliminated from the NFL. And the NFL, without him being injured, the NFL is doing their best to at least eliminate him from a good portion of the season. He's facing a 5-game suspension for an illegal hit against Chiefs fullback Anthony Sherman earlier this month. Shockingly, Burfict's a repeat offender.
But the crazy thing about this story specifically, I'm not trying to defend him.
I gotcha.
But even, what's the guy's name? Why am I blanking?
Mike Pereira mistweeted. Is that who you're talking about?
No. The guy that he hit.
Anthony Sherman.
Okay. So Sherman even said it was a legal hit. He basically hit him in the shoulder. It wasn't a blindside. He didn't hit him helmet to helmet. So I don't know how I feel about this. I really don't care because he's done this enough that whatever he gets, he deserves. But it did make me start thinking about some of the dirtiest players in sports. And not even just right now, but players, you know, in the past, right? And it goes way back, but you can go through all sports. I mean, we've been talking a lot about boxing today. Do you not think that Mike Tyson is one of the dirtiest, you know, athletes
literally,
ever?
He literally snacked on an ear.
Exactly. Tonya Harding, who took out, what's her name?
Nancy Kerrigan.
That was dirty.
I didn't even think about that. Jeez.
You know, like, there's a lot of, there's a lot. Yeah, I mean, that was.
I mean, I'm not laughing to laugh. When you hit your opponent, when you hire somebody to hit your opponent in the knee.
Roy Williams was the chokehold guy. You know what I mean? Like, they specifically have a rule because of him. You talk about Domicon Sue.
Yes.
He's a freaking dirty player.
He stepped on somebody's neck.
I mean, there's a lot of people. James Harrison that you can put. It's just, I'm not saying that Vontaze Burfict is a good guy. I'm not saying he's not dirty, but it does make me think about, okay, it's not like he's the only one. Freaking Dennis Rodman kicked a cameraman. He took out Scottie Pippen.
He did.
You know, like, even the mailman, Carl Malone, freaking Isaiah Thomas, like, elbow straight to his face, busted his face up. There's so many dirty players. And what's his name that was in Boston? Now I think he's in Miami.
What sport?
Crazy hair, NBA.
Chris Anderson?
No. Crazy hair, long, you know, God, why am
Kelly
I?
Kelly Olynyk?
Yes, yeah. He's a dirty player. I mean, Draymond Green, there's a long, long list of people.
Katie, we're on the radio, so this won't work. So I'll invite anyone who wishes. I invite you to please just Google.
Why don't you tweet out the link?
Vontaze. Oh, I will. Just Google Vontaze Burfict and Sherman.
Yeah.
And you will see clips of the hit. Now, I'm going to guess something here, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
Okay.
You read the comments. You haven't seen the hit.
I did not read the comments. I just read the story.
You read the story. You haven't seen the hit. Here's the hit, Katie. Tell me that you agree that it's a clean hit. Okay, watch. And, oh, look, there's a helmet to helmet. Oh, look, the ball is 30 yards downfield.
Yeah, the only thing is because he wasn't really the targeted receiver.
At all.
I know.
And did Vontaze Burfict's shoulder hit Sherman's chest? Yeah. Did he also spear him with his helmet directly under the helmet? Yeah, he did. So if Sherman said that's a clean hit, either Sherman owes Vontaze Burfict money from a poker game or Sherman was concussed.
The major problem in this, whether or not you want to debate the hit being clean or not, which is obviously what's going to happen here,
sure.
And they're appealing the decision, but more disturbing is that this happened in a preseason game to me.
Exactly.
A game that doesn't count for anything. Some people are just wired so violently, if you will. Like, they're just so competitive that they don't have the ability to really think. It's all reactionary. And I think Burfict is one of those guys. I think you could fine him every single game. You could suspend him. You can hit him in the pocketbook. It doesn't matter. This is just who he is. This is how he's wired. And the only thing that you're going to be able to do is kick him out of the league. But that's not going to happen.
I understand and welcome the debate as to whether or not the Burfict hit was legal. Because he didn't leave his feet. Shoulder made contact with chest. It didn't appear that he lowered his head. I get it. I actually part of me wishes that it was almost undebatable that it was a clean hit. I wish that it was a clean hit and he was still getting suspended 5 games because that's just justice. The way the NFL is so stupid, Kyle, is that there's been like, I don't know, 170,000 estimated other opportunities to suspend Vontaze Burfict for repeatedly like this,
but
where it's clear.
You have to, Dave, it's not fair. That's not how, if the justice system doesn't work that way, how can it, you know what I'm saying?
Like,
you can't penalize somebody for something they've done in the past.
You shouldn't be able
there
to.
There has to be cause.
You shouldn't be able to. In Vontaze Burfict's case, I want it to be unfair. I want it to be unfair. I want him to have a case, and I want him to still get suspended. I want it to be unfair for all the players over the years that he is injured, that he is knocked out, all the dirty moves, by the way, that he's never been caught for or penalized for that happen on a season-to-season, almost game-by-game basis. Kyle, I know you're a football dude, and maybe you're not as passionate about this as I am, but I just don't want Vontaze Burfict as a part of my NFL life.
Well, a couple of things with this. I had a buddy who played offensive line at the University of Arizona. Vontaze Burfict went to ASU.
Uh-huh.
I remember him talking about Vontaze Burfict and saying how annoying it was to play against him.
Because of
all his little cheap shots after the play, all the things he'll do during the play where you're just kind of worried about your safety while he's on. And that's kind of just football in general. But the other thing with this hit is I don't think it's so much the hit itself, but the NFL's really trying to emphasize that defenseless receiver thing.
Yeah.
And you're going to get busted if you hit a defenseless receiver where the ball is intended for them. Not to mention a guy who's just coming over the middle and you blow him up. The NFL wants to emphasize calls like that, and who better to make an example of than a guy who does that
repeatedly.
For a living.
And it's not a coincidence that every Bengals game turns into a brawl.
Yeah.
It's not a coincidence.
That's also what they want. That's their personality.
The Bengals?
That's who they want to be.
I'm glad you went there because Vontaze Burfict is the disease, but the Bengals are the symptom.
Yeah.
That is an organization that has an ownership structure that is repeatedly forgiving, that turns its back. People give Jerry Jones in Dallas a lot of crap for selectively suspending. Remember with the Ezekiel Elliott thing and with Lucky Whitehead, and everybody got on them for that. Jerry Jones is a taskmaster for his own players compared to what they are out in Cincinnati, repeatedly defending and turning the other way when it comes to Pac-Man Jones.
Yeah.
Why? So that you can get Pac-Man Jones to tear up at a report and say, nobody's ever had my back like this before. Well, good for you, dude. Good for you, ownership. You've got Pac-Man Jones on your side. Pac-Man Jones, who, again, along with Vontaze Burfict, are arguably, I say arguably,
yeah.
but not they, arguably, they are. Two of the top five biggest scumbags in the league.
They are.
And they happen to play for the Bengals and are celebrated by ownership. From the 916, you can't penalize someone when they have not been proven guilty either, but the NFL still does that. Well, you're absolutely right.
That's a very valid point.
And, of course, it's the NFL that's going to screw this up. Of course it's the NFL that's going to screw this up.
How are they screwing it up if they're suspending him for five games?
Because to your point, this, though I think, layman person here, I think it's pretty clear cut it was a dirty hit. There are legit arguments that it isn't. Mm-hmm. So there have been many examples of Vontaze Burfict making dirty hits that are undebatable. But instead of just grabbing all of those and suspending him five games.
You're going to penalize him for something that he actually has an argument about.
And you're going to weigh and you're going to turn him into a hero in the Ohio area and to Bengal fans. And Bengal fans, by the way, are the only people that can possibly, they're the only people I've ever seen defend Vontaze Burfict, which is another thing about sports that's awesome. And we all do it, is when your rooting interests grade how you are or not going to defend
it's
a player.
It's kind of like when we had, I don't think you were on the show at that time. You were off that day. We had Greg Papa on. We're talking about the Warriors. We were talking about Draymond Green and kicking people in the you know, nether
right.
regions. And he defended it. He said he's not dirty.
Who was this?
The Greg Papa.
Oh, I got you.
And he and I got on it on into
I remember
it on
hearing about
air.
This.
Like, seriously. But that is exactly what you're talking about. It's people that are too close to it, that are looking at it through their team's eyes, trying to defend bad behavior, trying to make excuses for it, trying to say, oh, well, he has a target on his back. No, he's just dirty. It's kind of like when your parents, if you get into a fight at school and you're wrong, but your parents have your back. It's not, you know what I mean?
Well,
there are those
yeah.
parents that are going to handle
their
it.
Their kid could do nothing wrong. Right. I come from the thought process that if somebody says my kid did something wrong, I'm convinced that my kid did something 10 times as wrong and just hasn't been caught the other 9 times. But you're right. There are those parents that wonder when their kids are teenagers or in their early 20s why their kids are such rejects. They wonder that, but they don't hearken back to the fact that the entire time raising their kid could do nothing wrong. And if the kid did do something wrong, it was the teacher's fault. It was a classmate's
Excuses.
Fault. It's everybody's fault but your kid because you're too insecure to take responsibility for the kid's actions. And I see that on Facebook all the time.
Exactly what's going on in Cincinnati.
It's exactly. It's a great analogy, Katie, is that Cincinnati has a bunch of derelict kids that can repeatedly screw up. And Cincinnati's going on Facebook, i.e. the NFL appeals process, and saying, oh, what are you talking about? They're just fine. They didn't have breakfast that morning. They need a little extra attention. It's not
my
kid's fault.
They were being bullied. You just didn't know about it.
4 years ago, somebody looked at them weird, and it stuck with them. Yeah, please. But the NFL is a fine-tuned machine on the up-and-up compared to the NFLPA. The Players Association is about as ass-backwards as you could possibly imagine. They're going to vote by mid-October. Let me start over. We talked last week about Roger Goodell getting re-upped because the NFL is getting ready and they're loading their guns.
$30 million a year?
Well, that's what he did make. They don't have to disclose it anymore. But you can bet it's going to be that or more. They want to make sure all their ducks are in a row because come 2020, you're going to have a renegotiation of the collective bargaining agreement, and it's supposed to be a big deal. There's probably going to be a work stoppage. So what's the Players Association doing? They're doing the same thing, right? Making sure they're ready to go?
Yeah.
Well, in mid-October, they're going to vote whether to retain Morris Smith as the union's executive director and bar other candidates from challenging him for the job because there's a new set of election procedures that they didn't previously disclose. The Washington Post got a hold of these voting rules. What that means is that a 14-member selection committee gets to vote on the contract extension. If those players and the selection committee, because there's also a board of team-by-team player reps, if they opt to keep him, the union cannot consider other candidates for the executive job. They used to. The previous procedure placed few restrictions on Katie. You could roll in and you could get it done. You could challenge him. You could probably challenge him, Katie. Now, in a closed-door session, these committees can vote to keep him without anybody else challenging him, without an open and fair process.
This is where you have to hope that the players that have been speaking out, and I don't know who's on this 14-member committee. I don't know if we have the ability to find that out, what players are involved in that.
Fred Smith.
But you have to hope that guys like Richard Sherman and others that have been speaking out about the need for the Players Association to really, and the players, to get their acts together.
This is where you speak out.
Yes, and so you have to hope that that doesn't happen. that there's no way that this 14-member committee looks at this and says, maybe it's a good idea to just stick with this other one. And not to say that Maurice Smith isn't going to end up being the president again, but at least let some other candidates come in and weigh your options, right?
Absolutely. Doesn't look like it's going to happen. Let's switch gears real quick, as we did earlier. Joining us right now, you've seen all weekend long, and you continue to see on any channel you turn it on, the devastation that's going on in Houston and in Southeast Texas and Southwest Louisiana and that entire region. The people that are on the ground, the people that are making a difference, amongst others, the Red Cross, as you can always turn to them. Gary Strong is the CEO of the Red Cross out here, Gold Country region. That covers 24 counties up here in Northern California, just under 5 million residents, and they are mobilizing big time to help everybody out in the southeastern Texas area. Gary, it's Dave and Katie again. Thank you for coming on. What can you update us on today, and just for the new audience that joined us since we had you on at 6 a.m., what are you guys doing in your area to help out Houston?
Yeah, so what we're doing at this point is we have some people that are local here that are doing casework by phone, but we've also had some people that have actually flown out and deployed to help in the shelters over there in the Texas area. And we have a long list of other people that are poised to go out and start doing that help.
redcross.org/goldcountry. There is a big red button right there. Whether it's $1 or $1,000, it all makes a difference. That's how the Red Cross is able to go out and do this great work. Katie.
A question for you, Gary. When we talked earlier, when we got off air with you, about, you know, a lot of people are like, oh, let's have a bottled water drive, all of this stuff, but it makes a little bit more sense just in terms of, you know, people here locally being able to help out in the best way possible. Is it better to make a donation, or does, you know, kind of having a drive for things that people might need, is that also helpful, or would you encourage the donation in this sense more?
Yeah, the best way to help out when you're remote like this, far across the country, is to give the cash donations. If you have bottle drives or raise money to put together other types of in-kind materials, the cost associated with getting them there and shipping them and sorting them and getting the right things to the right people is just prohibitive. By giving a cash donation, the money can be used where it's needed most for the right things.
And, Gary, I read just a half hour or so ago that 30,000 people are going to be in shelters. What is the most immediate need that the Red Cross is addressing kind of as the storm has moved on and now we're dealing with the aftermath?
Yeah, so now that we have the ability to get into the area, some of the raining has subsided that allows us then to fly in. We're starting to stage volunteers, actually thousands of volunteers, starting off in Austin and Baton Rouge and Dallas, and then working from there to move them directly into the shelters where they can have that direct impact on the client population that is there.
Just so people understand, as we are talking to Gary Strong, CEO of the Red Cross out here, just so you understand, you've seen the devastation already. If you're listening to this show, you've seen the video. Houston has seen 25 inches of rain, and that's what has caused this devastation. Another 25 inches is expected to fall by this Saturday. That's double the amount that has already fallen. A mandatory evacuation order issued in several different areas. As Katie mentioned, 30,000 people already, right now, 30,000 people evacuating, seeking shelter, 450,000 victims to seek some sort of disaster assistance. And here's the thing, Gary, you know this way better than I do, but from what you said last time, it's not like once the Harvey leaves, you guys are going to pack up. It sounds like this recovery process is going to take a long, long time.
Yeah, we're talking weeks or even months for the recovery, at least for our aspect of it. But if you've seen out there the pictures of how the water lines are high in people's homes, they're not going to be able to return to those homes right away. They're still going to need a place to stay. They're still going to need a place to get food and water and a place to lay their head. And, you know, the mental health support that's all so important when you're in a devastation like this. So we're going to be there for them.
You mentioned that last time. I want to get back in there as we wrap up. And Gary's going to join us again at 8:35. The mental health aspect, because I had not thought about that. I think about bottled water and food and toothbrushes and toilet paper, diapers. It's interesting. I would imagine a lot of people don't think about the mental, not physical, but mental aspect of going through something like this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you just think about it on your own basis, I'm sure all of us have had some sort of loss. You go outside, see someone's broken your car window, and just the emotional feeling that you have when that happens. Imagine your home and all of your stuff has been destroyed, never to be gotten back again. It's got to be really tough on these people. That's why we keep a cadre of mental health workers, trained professionals who can go in there and, you know, put an arm around somebody, give them someone to talk to, and help them through that that extreme emotional impact.
Redcross.org/GoldCountry. Gary also informed us earlier, Nugget Markets are taking donations at their cash registers. Now, I know we have a lot of business owners listening right now. If you guys want to help out, you can call 916-993-7081. That's redcross.org/GoldCountry. There's a big red Donate Now button right on the front page. Click it. Everything helps. Gary, you guys do amazing work, and we appreciate you not only coming on twice already, but on a very busy day, I'm sure, joining us again here in about 35 minutes to give us another update. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, take care. That is Gary Strong, CEO of the Red Cross, and as we talk about, you know, Floyd Mayweather and Kyrie Irving and Vontaze Burfict, that's the last thing people in the
industry
think
about. Man, I don't think that, and we've said it multiple times on the show, I think that Floyd Mayweather is a deplorable human being. But if karma is such a thing, I would take a large portion of what he just won and donate it.
Just throw it right there.
Yeah, throw it right there.
Absolutely.
I mean, 100%. It would make me think a little bit more of you. I doubt that's going to happen, but let's cross our fingers for that.
Well, we'll take a break. When we come back, we will talk about Floyd Mayweather. We'll talk about Conor McGregor, the breakdown of the entire fight. We have sound for you. We'll really get into it for the first time today in extension. And I'll explain why. I've said repeatedly since Saturday, Conor McGregor has nothing to hang his head about, but do not be fooled. Conor McGregor was never, ever, 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 ever in this fight whatsoever. I'll tell you why next on The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.